someone from the opposite sex, for example. In the old days, you'd never know unless you were, you know, Karnak the Magnificent, which Mark and I understand that reference, but maybe not every listener does, which is a Johnny Carson, former comedian routine. And unless you sort of could figure this out on your own, no one would know about it. But on the profile now, if you can find the profile, it does list if there's any sort of limitation on the physician's license. So the state grants on behalf of the public the license to practice to a physician if the Office of Professional Medical Conduct, which is part of the health department, sanctions the physician. The way that you find out about it is really through the profile. And if there's any limitation on the physician, in terms of like they're not allowed to write scripts for opioids, for example, the way to find out about that is to go through the profile.
So that's nydoctorprofile.com. But also today, Nyberg is releasing, I guess, a little report. New York has faced hundreds of millions of dollars in climate costs while big oil racks up huge profits, nearly three-quarters of $1 trillion over the past 30 months. And I know that Nyberg and others had pushed something called the Climate Superfund Act, trying to get the largest polluters to pay to help with the climate costs. What sort of new information coming out of this report you're releasing today?
Well, I think we're trying to draw attention to the fact that when the governor responds appropriately, you know, to climate damages in the state, or announces that she's going to do something to create more resiliency in the infrastructure of the state, for example, to deal with climate change, increasingly climate catastrophe, that what is often overlooked is the fact that that's all being paid for by New Yorkers, taxpayers, basically. And the costs are going to go up. So what we did is we looked at the governor's releases over the past year to see how many of them we could really clearly identify as either a climate cost or resiliency, and totaled it up. And it was almost $2 billion in the past 12 months that the governor has announced in terms of these projects that are coming out of the taxpayers' accounts. And meanwhile, the oil companies, who are responsible for the problem of climate catastrophe that we're all living through, orange sky in New York City, wildfires all from coast to coast in Canada and all over Europe, unbelievable heat waves, all of that is because they knew 40 years ago that this was going to happen. And instead of telling everybody and alerting us, they lied about it, continued to actually extract the product and pump it out. So we think they should pay. And one of the ways that we looked at it is, do they have the money to do it? And if you look at the biggest Western, publicly traded Western companies and Saudi Aramco, they made almost $3 trillion in profits over the last 30 months, 2.5 years. And so why shouldn't the state go after some of their dough to offset the increasing climate costs that the state of New York faces, since they're responsible and they have the money? The Climate Change Superfund Act, which you referenced, Mark, is legislation that does that, $3 billion a year annually for the next 25 years, and is designed in such a way that the companies can't pass the cost on to the public. They have to eat it. And we think that's the appropriate response to the increasingly expensive, because it's not like climate catastrophe is going to get any better in the next bunch of years. It's going to just keep getting worse, and the costs are going to keep going up. So let's make the oil companies pay for it.
Now, actually, most of the money that actually in New York goes towards, well, at least renewable energy, actually comes from utility companies. It's a surcharge on your utility bills, about $500 million or so a year. Now, the Climate Superfund Act, you know, did pass the Senate last year, but did not move in the Assembly. Estimates anywhere from $10 to $30 billion a year needed to deal with climate costs. You know, what is the response of both the State Assembly and the governor at this point to the points that you're making that we should be making the polluters pay in the last minute?
They have sort of a, you know, in my opinion, inappropriate response, which is we don't believe that the cost won't be passed on to consumers. We'll do other things to pass costs on to consumers, but it sounds more like what the oil companies say. We have a report done by an independent think tank, the Institute for Policy Integrity at NYU Law School, which says, and it's basic economics, that if you do it right, you can make them pay. And so far, you know, it's going to just take, I think, bone-crushing pressure to get the governor and the assembly to get on board on this, because Otherwise, New Yorkers will either lose access to services or have to pay more in their tax bill to offset the cost of climate catastrophe. That's all the responsibility of the oil companies.
So we've been talking with Blair Horner, NYPIRG, NYPIRG, .org, if you want more information. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
She says, would discourage disposal and generate $133 million per year. The DEC said in a statement, and I quote, by focusing on reducing waste at its source, returning materials back to productive use, and diverting waste from landfills, harmful greenhouse gas emissions will be avoided while sustaining the supply chain, end quote. In all, the DEC proposed solid waste management plan got more than 1,000 comments from the public. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
She got my phone and what she about to say. She let me know. ahead and roll up now. You say you're not gon' fold up now. She hit my line, says I never showed him up, no love now. I can't say what's on my mind, get dumbed down. Thinking too much in my mind, get shut down. She hit my line, says hear my wrist water turn to ice. What could I say? Undercut and wait. If you play, you lay. I'ma take your life. Killer, so don't push me. I don't really care too much. I ain't cheat the grind of where it took me. You a step for what you wanna cut. No question. I put the road for 4 seconds. Beam go 0 to 60. Ain't no telling what do I got on this blizzard. No hesitation. I get on revenge. I'm in 2 years out of the field. And I still been getting the end plucker. Put a bounty on me. Hey, told him that the quicker pick her up. The AK made a Romanian. Pouring a drink by the tablespoon. I feed a bad, bad baby food. Damn, my macadamia. Sprite, sprite, look, thank you. I'm in the suburb, I'm serving my neighbor. I don't got time to respond to no haters, but I'ma kill all them little later, I promise. I never had the time to make a way. I only had the time to make a play. I had to learn nobody saving me. If you gon' run it up the wrong way, they see I got a lot up in my plate. When you been working, it's not about the faith. She on my phone and what she about to say. She let me know.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXE, Acre Catskill Hudson, and on the Wavefarm website, wavefarm.org. Today, I'm your host, DJ Cola, and I'm joined with
DJ Money,
DJ Sosa,
and we also have a lovely special guest today,
Maxine Wilkins. I'm coming from the spot in Philmont. It's our community center run by Lowkey Anthony.
So, without further ado, let's talk about your organization, you know?
We're hosting, the spot is hosting Ubuntu evening programming that is geared to help the community be able to interact together. So we create opportunities to do things together to make the wall come down easier. And on Tuesdays, we have a book read together, reading, and now we're reading Dr. King's Where Do We Go From Here? He called it Chaos, Community or Chaos. And some of the points in there we realized were very important and not being shared with the general community. So we asked the group over here if we could come and talk about what we're learning, and maybe we can make it a regular thing to talk about what we're doing over there and share the information with the young people to see how what they think about it. Because when we look at the whole civil rights movement, it was the young people that turned it over.
Yeah.
And so I want to share some of his points, because Dr. King was saying that it was a beloved community that was going to bring us justice. And here we are all these years later still looking for justice with no beloved community, not even understanding how to create one. So the experiment here in Philmont with Ubuntu is to figure out what that is and how do we acquire a beloved community.
And you said something about points in chaos. Am I messing that up at all?
Yeah, he said community or chaos. So he said, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. Will it be community? Or will we just have chaos?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's super important because, I mean, I may be biased, but at the end of the day, I still think it's true. Community is, like, everything. Like, without community, you're almost nothing. We get who we are from, like, the people around us, and we take in their qualities, their traits, and what they learned and their wisdom. And that's almost the whole purpose of, like, being here with each other. And I feel like a lot of people now are very self-centered.
I agree. What I realize is that we don't just have to accept that fact, that there's a lot of self-centered people. We grew up in the matrix. That's what the church is talking about when it says you were born in sin. You're living in the matrix, and you can't see the real way of life when you're living in the matrix. But our experiment is to spend more time around people who understand that fact. There are people who get that. And if we get to spend time with each other, we get to have more comfortable lifetime. And that's our goal.
Yeah. And you were talking about some points on capitalism that would stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that down.
One of the things Dr. King said in the book is that that there's something wrong with capitalism. And then that just stopped the pen. So what does that mean? What is wrong with capitalism? How do we figure that out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a baton that I'm passing on to the young people. Dr. King said something's wrong with it. How about figuring out what that is?
I have a few ideas. Do you have a few ideas yourself that you would like to share first?
I want
to
hear your ideas.
So it's all incentive is just you want more and you want more. It's a desire, and that desire is like a flame that burns, and if you keep on feeding it more and more material goods, like, oh, I have a house, I want a vacation house here and a vacation house there, instead of, hey, I can help my community, I can help people that are starving. And that's what it incentivizes. It incentivizes making more money for yourself, not giving to others, not making sure others have what they need. And that's where I would start.
I think that people don't realize that you can do both. When I first came back to Belmont, there was a teaching going on about an alternative currency that they are doing it down in Kingston. They have it going on in Kingston called The Current. And there's like 300 businesses in Kingston that are part of this experiment. And I think that we should invite somebody from that organization to come talk to us.
That sounds super interesting.
Very
interesting. Money is just a myth that everybody plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a game that we've all agreed to the rules of. If one day, not like the majority of people just decided, what if we just stopped using money? Then we would stop using money. The only value we have is what we attribute to it.
And that's what there's a whole theology behind it. They've created paper that is a part of their current concept.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, in general, I don't explain it well, but they can explain it really well. But that after you've taken care of all of your issues, your bills and everything you need, and you take care of your people around you, the money that's left, you don't put in savings. Savings is not a part of the concept. You put it into whatever organization in your community you want to help build it up.
Yeah,
and if everybody's doing that,
that's benefiting you and benefiting everybody else.
And it's exactly. And then you're looking at being able to create a community that your children can walk around in and you don't have to worry about. In my family, our children don't just walk around in the town at all, because it's not a cool thing to do in any of the towns. And so it's really not a cool thing to do. It's not safe. The environment is not conducive to enhancing what they want to do with their life. So we're trying to create a community that will enhance that.
Yeah. So do you want to elaborate on why it could be harmful to, like, spend your day walking around in town?
I'm brown.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's valid.
And I don't want to get, because I want to talk about what we can do. Mm-hmm. Because we're already all full of what's been happening. But being able to intentionally take some of what's on your full plate and redirect it so that you're intentionally doing some sacrificial thing that moves us forward in our community. So go to your community center and find out what you can do. Because just because the races are doing things together makes the young people see that maybe it's true. Because back in my time, the way people were described was discouraging to even try. And so now I'm saying, if you see people working together, maybe it'll work.
Right.
But we have to come back from some negative stuff, and that's the way to do
it. Yeah, and I just want to quickly promote not just Catskill Clubhouse, but Hudson Clubhouse, as well as Philmont
The Spot.
The Spot, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that these are big places about just literally everybody from completely different backgrounds coming in and saying, what do we need as together, as us, not as I?
And I like that you brought that up, because the Hudson Clubhouse is now fighting for her existence. Miss Badilla has put out a letter for support, because they're about to have the building sold, and they have a perfect space. And when we're looking at the little that we've done for our community, for our children, that when we have an established space, that the community has already gotten good and comfortable at being able to use, that we need to back that with everything we got. I have been working in these communities for the past 40 years and then some, and that's the first time I've seen something that positive happening for our children on the limited resources that they have had been able to get. Now, because I'm saying limited, because when the community steps out and does her part, this could be a magnificent operation.
Yeah, and for some of the people who may be lacking some knowledge on some of the things the Hudson Clubhouse has done, you want to say some things that, like, they provided, because they do so much.
I can go off, but you tell them what you know.
Okay, so I know a little bit. I'm mainly centered in Catskill, but I know there's Waterfront Wednesdays. I know that's like a event where people can just come, they can eat, they can go on the water for free. I know that there's the Hudson Clubhouse open, and we serve people food all the time. We have a bunch of family strengthening activities.
It's an amazing, and
they take trips too to a bunch of different places and help.
You've got that, and you're from Catskill. The people in Hudson who finally have a place where they can send their children, where they can feel comfortable outside of just the Boys Club, where they can get more culture, where they can get more home sense of mentoring on a different level. Everything has its own level, and the clubhouse has a whole nother level where it takes in, and if you see her letter, it takes in all different kinds of organizations, and they're able to host different levels of the needs of the community. And that's what I've been looking for Hudson to be able to do for our children and our struggling families. I've been looking for this kind of support for the community for all this time. And when they finally are settled in a space where they can begin to function, they need so much more. But that's a space where they can begin to function and have established a piece of a root for the community. We need to support that and not let ourselves lose it. So I can get off that bandstand.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a perfect way to put it. Like, it's very sad that we even have to face the thought and very likely reality that it could just be taken from us at any point.
So hopefully each one of the communities that have been blessed by it can find a way of putting together a petition so their community can let the Hudson Group know why we need to keep it and support it better.
Yeah.
MHA and AmeriCorps have been housing it and supporting it all this time, but we can take it further as a community. We know we can.
Yeah. So I'm just going to elaborate for the audience for a second what MHA is. It's short for MHACG, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green, and that's what funds the clubhouses, because we are all about the community's well-being, their mental health, their physical health, their needs and wants too. And just make sure they have security, make sure they feel welcomed. And AmeriCorp, I am a little bit ignorant about. I don't know too much of it. I know we have a lovely worker here that gets funded by AmeriCorp, and like, she's awesome, but I know they are like a organization that helps with things. Could you elaborate for me?
AmeriCorps, I think, was a brilliant idea someone came up with by paying community members to be part of the helping seasoning, educating of the community and being the backbone of helping different organizations when they're trying to do different events in the community. I think it was a brilliant idea that's growing, because now they've added a couple of different levels, like the education grant, voucher. And now a couple of other ideas I hear in the brewing that grows it to make it more strong help. I mean, it employs a lot of people, so it's excellent.
I have a little bit of a creative question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had, obviously this doesn't exist, but a magic wand and you could change one thing about how society is now, and only one thing, what would you say?
I would really like to see the agencies and the community be able to have a bridging organization that they can work with that helps the community be able to interact in a more purposeful.
Yeah.
A safety zone. There's a lot of bias that's going on in the realm that people don't know and understand. But if you had a liaison organization, you can help heal that and be more effective.
So, and that's another thing too. We can have all these resources, but if people are unaware and almost intentionally
or afraid,
stripped from the knowledge,
afraid to be authentic.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And earlier, before, we were talking about how there's these roles that are placed on you, mm-hmm. like pretty much ever since you were born. Child, that's a mm-hmm. role. Student,
some of it is cultural, mm-hmm. and if you look at other aborigine tribes, you still have these roles for the development of the group. But then that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's for the development of the group, not the pampering of the individual.
Yeah.
And when you see that, it's the full circle. I read Black Elk Speak, and he said the home is supposed to be in the circle, like the moon and the sun and the bird's nest, that with your power goes out and it comes back to you. And when you see the things that you do have that kind of an effect, then you know you're living a more holistic life.
Yeah, right. And if the way it's set up now, my thoughts on it are it's almost intentionally or unintentionally, but I believe intentionally, set to the way that you have to pay attention to yourself first, unfortunately. And I wish there was more focus on, like, if, because everybody is, and most people are focused on themselves, it's hard to start the just saying, hey, you know, we're all community, we're gonna care. If everybody would say, hey, we could help out with each other, then that would be a more sustainable
form. That's the mission of Ubuntu. And what you're talking about is life in the matrix. Life in the matrix, you see, everybody is not, even big families. We are a big family. My family is a big family. But if you don't deliberately do things that cause you to interact, then you won't interact.
Yeah.
Because it's too easy just to be a nucleus
like
unto yourself.
Spectator.
You have to deliberately say, let's make us have a gathering on this day and make it be. My sisters and I, the only way, there's seven of us, and the way we were able to have a vacation together is that we had to say, this is going to be our date, and we're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to make it intentional, because that's opposite of the matrix.
Yeah. So I have some thoughts I've written about that, and I'm going to get right back to that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go into our 6:30 news update and play a song, and we will be right back. Mm-hmm. On Clubhouse Radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul is asking President Joe Biden for assistance with migrants coming to New York. Republican governors in Florida and Texas have been busing migrants to New York and other states, and New York City Mayor Eric Adams has been busing those migrants upstate. In an address to New Yorkers August 24th, Hochul said, and I quote, "To level with New Yorkers, barring much-needed changes at the border, there does not appear to be a solution to this federal problem anytime soon," end quote. Like, it's not specifically, even like Hochul it's has like been common, asking like, Biden to make it easier to let migrants work and also wants financial assistance, access to federal land for additional shelters, and reimbursement of the state's costs for using the National Guard. Hochul said, and I quote, "Our quest continues to squarely tell the White House, let them work," end quote. Hochul addressed constituents in both parties saying, and I quote, "If you're represented by a Republican, please ask them to stop politicizing people's lives, stop fighting President Biden's comprehensive smart solutions, and work together towards solving this. If you're represented by a Democrat, then ask them to support my plan for more engagement and direct support from the administration," end quote. In all, New York City has received about 100,000 migrants, many since bust up state. Hochul got backup from at least one legislator. State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said in a tweet, and I quote, "Governor Hochul is right. We need help from Washington, and we can't continue shouldering this burden. We need resources, but more importantly, we need to let them work," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Dan Rivoli reports at New York State of Politics that the attorney who filed the 1979 case that created the right to shelter mandate said it applies statewide. Attorney Robert Hayes pushed back at Governor Hochul, who in an address about the migrant issue said, and I quote, "This is an agreement that does not apply to the states of the 57 counties," end quote. Case said New York has an obligation to provide shelter to anyone who seeks it. Hayes said, and I quote, "If the governor doesn't think there's a statewide right to shelter, she's either very ill-informed or, frankly, derelict in her obligation," end quote. The court ruled that because the state's constitution says, and I quote, "The aid, care, and support of the needy are public concerns and shall be provided by the state," end quote, and localities. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Jamal Cutler reports in Columbia Green Media that the 182nd Columbia County Fair begins this week. Robin Benziger, a member of the fair's board of directors, said, and I quote, "We're making preparations. We have an authentic agricultural fair, which I think is kind of disappearing. The enthusiasm and participation this year has really been encouraging. We have a lot of displays and competitions. We judge everything from giant pumpkins, flower arrangements, quilts. It's such an exciting place. This is something that is so unusual and special, people need to see it," end quote. Benziger also highlighted some attractions, saying, and I quote, "We have cattle, sheep, swine, goat, and poultry. The kids had a lot of cool things. They have a costume contest on Sunday. They have cow flop bingo. And on Monday, they have their master show competition. The rodeo is back this year. We have kangaroos. Who else has kangaroos at their fair but us? It was very popular last year, so we're excited about that," end quote. The fair is open Wednesday through Labor Day. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. You ain't
ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, I'm just warming up. I'm yet to break a sweat. There ain't a need to brag, no need to flex. And when they said I couldn't do it, I became obsessed. I'm going Super Saiyan, yeah, I'll go Super Saiyan. I got something to say. Thanks for the motivation. I gotta get it now. There's no time for waiting. This time I really mean it. No, I'm not even playing. I gotta keep my eyes on the prize. 200 mph, that's a hell of a ride. Can't describe what I've been feeling inside. Yeah, I love proving people wrong. Cause then I look them in the eyes and say, I bet you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, I'm just warming up. I'm yet to break a sweat. There ain't a need to brag, no need to flex. And when they said I couldn't do it, I became obsessed.
These are the newest Pixel
devices. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM, WGXE, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and on the Wavefarm website, wavefarm.org. You could also send us an email and be part of the conversation at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. R spelt as in O-U-R, because it's just as much your show as it is ours. And today, I am joined with...
DJ says,
Wow.
I know who was going first. You got it.
My name is Roxanne Wilkins. I come from this spot in Philmont, New York. We work with the Ubuntu Whole Life Nurturing and Healing Center that runs some workshops. We're hosted by the Mental Health Association and AmeriCorps in Philmont. We run workshops to help the community learn how to blend together, that it's easier than they thought to do. We have book readings on Tuesday. Now we're reading Dr. King's Where Do We Go From Here? Community of Chaos. And that's what we're here today to talk about, to share the lessons that we're learning from that with the young people and see what the community thinks about what we're learning rather than just us.
Mm-hmm. And I have some questions I wrote down to ask you, but I'm also joined with
DJ Sosa
and
DJ Shalmani,
my sound engineer. And I guess I'll just get right into it. So I wanted to ask you what you think about the school system right now.
Sucks.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, sucks. See, that's a topic we visit and we ask a lot of guests, and I want to hear your thoughts about it.
I raised all six of my children in the school system, and back in that time it was difficult because the bias was invisible and the teachers didn't realize. What I had heard was that we did have some black teachers back in the day, but they were
really
that's
surprising.
We did, and the last one was Miss Winston, and so I learned that the atmosphere was uncomfortable and that people felt like they didn't have to go through what they were going through for that kind of money, and they moved out.
Mm, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, to add on to that, public school still isn't the best now. It hasn't aged bad.
My gripe was that we tried to have an alternative school here because it was becoming uncomfortable to us how many of our children were being suspended at uncomfortable lengths of time, and we wanted them to not lose their time in education. And so we were trying to create an alternative opportunity here in the community. And I still believe that we need that, because I don't believe that we get the balance of education that we need.
Have you heard of the Sudbury School District? It might be going by a different name right now. Sudbury School.
No, I haven't.
It's a good Hudson alternative where the students vote on things and have just as much power as the teachers. Everybody's given the same value as a person, and whenever they go to expel people, suspend people or whatever, they take the whole school, they talk about it, and they vote, and like everybody's treated as equal. The students learn what they want, they ask, and they'll get the resources. And would you say that's like a better model? That we're going for by alternative?
We we had a free Metrigori school in Kingston, and I loved that balance. And that sounds a lot like what you're talking about, but it had a structure. And I think that one of the problems that that non-structured schools have is that they have to have a part of it that offers structure, because some children need that in order to learn. Some people need open space, and some people need structure. And so I would like to visit what you're talking about.
It goes by two names.
The Hudson Housing Coalition has an alternative school that they work with in Albany. So I would like to visit all three ideas.
Yeah, that would be interesting. It is hard to say what's it called, how you feel about it if you haven't visited that. And that's a very good point, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to ask if, what's it called, there is somebody asking for advice for school. Let's say they're in school, they're looking to whether they should continue in school, homeschool, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say is the wisest option as of right now, working in the system that we're given, even though the system isn't the best?
I would suggest Hawthorne Valley again, but I would suggest them be strongly involved in the whole education thing, because it's a European-based theology, so they don't know about the issues of the whole BIPOC thing, and so they have a strong understanding of educating a child from the inside out, which is, I think, the only way you can educate a child. You can program them the way the education system does in this country, or you can educate them.
Yeah, there's a saying that I like, and it's, you can't teach soul.
Yeah. Yeah, so you educate them. It has to be from the inside out, and I think that's what the Hawthorne Waldorf method is like. I think that it works better when they have a full range of people to work with, so they can get a stronger base of knowledge. Like the whole BIPOC perspective, I think, is missing there for lack of interaction, and that's because we don't interact.
Mm-hmm. And what are some advice that you would give to a BIPOC family looking to help get involved in the community?
What town you're in, find a community center that's there and see what's going on. That would be the base. And see what's going on and what you can help them make happen go on. Because I think that the community centers are trying, and they need the assistance of the full community. We are just getting connected with the BIPOC community in Belmont, and it's giving it so much more power, so much more flavor than we had before.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You may be, but the old community center in Catskill, the Catskill Community Center, was bought out by a very wealthy person, and now we don't use it for a community center.
Wow.
We had access to it one day because the person who, what's it called, is renting it right now is named Toggin. We've had him, I'm not sure if we've had him on show before, but we've talked with him a lot. He's super cool. He used to teach us capoeira, and he was able to negotiate, and we had it for an event once, but right now it's unavailable to the community.
That is sad.
Yeah.
That is sad. I remind you when I went to Costa Rica, and I heard this lady. She said she was living in the city and had a restaurant, and then an American came and bought the property, and it doubled her rent just because of the way Americans do business. Their money was worth double, and so when you go places, you have to think about what you're doing and the effect of what you're doing is on that community.
Right.
And so the guy whoever bought the building wasn't aware or wasn't in concern with how that affects the community. But the community,
that's the history of this country.
It is.
If you look all the way back, one really messed up thing that the settlers and Christopher Columbus used to do and has done, they've done so much messed up things. One of them, you know, lunar eclipses, solar eclipses, when the sun turns black, like, because the moon. They said to the indigenous people, Native Americans living there, since they knew the cycles of the solar eclipses, that this day, if you don't give us all your stuff, when this day comes, the sun is going to go black, and it's because our God is stronger than your God. And that's what they would do to convince them. And they would also go and try to offer them what to them was like nothing, like beads for the land. And they didn't have a concept of land ownership. It's like if somebody went up to you and said, can I buy the sky above your house?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm Blackfoot Sioux, I know.
Yeah.
What they did, those are the tepid stories of what they did. When later on we found out that they were actually so monstrous to the people.
Terrible.
That the king that sent them here wanted to disown any connection to what they had done. How they became a holiday in Italy, I don't understand. But they were pedophiles and
they would cut off hands if they try to strike at you. They would torture you for no reason.
If you didn't bring in the quota, you would lose your limbs. So that's why I'm saying that the concept that we are flowing in is that people don't understand what love is. And so how can you have a loving community if you don't even know what love is? So our journey is to figure that out. One of the ideas is to start a newsletter. And two of the girls in our community, we're trying to get them to start a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And to go around and get all of the stories, any stories that you hear of things that people are doing nice for each other. So that you can start seeing what love looks like.
Yeah. In the media coverage, we're actually going to be teaching a media literacy class sometime on Thursday. It's still in the works.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all so negative, and it's almost like it's just programming.
It is programming.
Yeah, exactly.
It is programming. One day I was watching on YouTube all of the nice things some people did, and it was for like an hour. But it encourages people to do nice things when they realize that's not going to be ignored.
Right. Do you know who Mr. Beast is?
What is considered nice things? I see people doing inconsiderate and rude things, and they think it's okay.
Right.
Like you double park in the middle of the street, and that's,
I hate that. That's a pet peeve.
I've seen people do it on Church Street, and the problem with doing it on Church Street, especially by the curb, is that you have to go around them into oncoming traffic. And if you do it on the curve, you can't see oncoming traffic. And so people do that, and they keep doing it.
I hate that. I have a pet peeve, too, where it's like a road, and it's two cars are coming, but only one car can fit on the road. And you're supposed to pull over.
Yeah.
If it's to your side.
Yeah.
So many people in Catskill don't care. They'll just wait. They'll literally wait you out instead of just pulling to the side when you have the right of way.
And that's just a consideration thing. And on Union Street, that happens all the time on Union Street.
Happens all over.
I know, but I'm just...
Yeah.
So I'm cutting it out, so the next person who does it on Union Street, I'm talking about them.
Dude, oh my God, there's this stop sign right by Walmart. I don't know the street name, but going into Walmart by Pomodoro's and the laundromat and the Smoker's Choice Shop. That turn, people just... habitually run that red light over and over and over again. Or not even red light, sorry, stop sign, I meant to say. A little correction there.
But see, you know, I realize it's a good idea to pray for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it changes the energy. If you intentionally do it, it changes the energy of your spirit.
Yeah.
And my purpose is to put out into the atmosphere as much loving attitude energy as possible, because you're detoxifying the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like the saying, the homage, that forgiving people silently and then letting them live their best life is the best thing you can do, not only for them, but for yourself.
Exactly.
So you don't have to carry the burden that they cast upon you. And they will, sadly, but just end up digging themselves in a hole, trying to dig you down.
Or learning something different. They might. I have seen it. That's why I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've had to be the silent person until the person wakes up and realizes, wow, that was really wrong, and I shouldn't have done that.
Right. Yeah.
But if you pray for them, it's easier to not feel like a victim and get out of the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I meditate a lot, and some of the guided meditations I do are all about just forgiveness. And the whole concept of it is, if you don't forgive them, it's bad it's worse for you than them. Because you're letting what they have. There was this old story, and it's about two monks. And they both swore celibacy, never to touch a woman. And then they're at this waterfall, and there's this woman that needs to cross. And one of the monks breaks his vow of celibacy just to help the woman. But then the other monk, after a little bit, after they keep walking, they already helped their the woman. Said, you know, did you do that? Why did you carry the woman? And then the monk in the other monk replies, you're the only one who's still carrying the woman right now. You're the only one who's still thinking about it.
And the thing is that if we focus more on our individual journeys, we would be a stronger person, and the people around us can get to be a stronger person. I think half of the problems that we have is stepping out into levels of judgment that were more burdensome than delivering.
Everything is programmed to have preconceived notions. You look at somebody and then you, by their appearance, say, oh, they're part of this group, they're part of this group, they're part of this group, and then because of that group, your preconceived notions of that group define how you treat them.
I used to know a guy, you remind me of him, in high school, that used to wear his hair long, just so everybody would think that he was like the long-haired people when he wasn't. He was just like, he was not like it at all. He wasn't hanging out with us at all, but he wore his hair long so that people would think he was. Said, because you can't judge anybody by the cover.
Yeah, right. Our guest, Sosa, is dipping for the day, so I just want to say goodbye to him. And as of right now, it's 6:51, and you are listening to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM, WGXC, 8 Rick Catskill, and Hudson. Oh, you're joining us again? Never mind. Sosa is back today. He is not leaving. I thought you were leaving. I'm sorry.
Show her the way.
So, yeah.
Well, how's everybody's day going? I know that's a good question.
Hello. You know, again, we need to start with that too. You know, how's everybody's day going?
Oh man, it was a full day, and I'm glad to be doing this.
But me too.
Yeah.
I started working early at the food bank on the at the church.
Cool.
Yeah. And then,
oh, what church was that?
It's very close to us. I'm not. Sure. I can look up, I can look up the name real quick. I can look up the name because I know where around where it is.
I forgot. Well, I went to Catskill.
DJ Sosa, how has your day been?
You know what I'm saying? It was pretty chill day. I mean, I woke up early as hell. Not purposely either. Not like, purposely. You just your days woke up
random. I woke up at like 6 something this morning randomly.
You sleep, so you start your day early as hell. Yeah. That was me.
Type. As of right now, it is 6:53. When it hits 6:55, we're going to play out some music and then chill for a little bit. I know y'all probably hear music in the background. I just want to ask, how is your guys' day? Our audience, our lovely audience. Just know, again, this is as much as your show as it is ours. We're really just the people to entertain you and hopefully bring you funny laughs. Word.
And try to hook you up with places that you go and you can feel home at.
Yeah, that's it.
How was your day?
Was
today. My day started off really early. Had to go to football practice. Had a little headache at one point. It went away a little bit. Drank a lot of water.
That's good. Hey, everybody listening at home,
drink water.
Make sure to stay hydrated for yourself. That's one thing. That's one easy step. I swear, half the time I'm wondering why I feel like this, and it's because I don't stay hydrated.
Word.
That's you can be much more present for yourself and everybody around you, too.
For real?
Yeah. You know, all this talk about community and putting it over a sense of self reminds me of this other quote, and it's, what's it called? Lighting the path for others can help light up your own path, too.
Yes.
That, and also, one more, that is, it doesn't extinguish your fire to help light somebody else's torch.
Good.
Those two.
Write those down for me.
Yo, those were from Siddhartha Gautama, old the Buddha, otherwise. Yeah. He was all about just realizing and breaking out of the what you're saying, the matrix, how everybody programs you to think a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, just the sense of, it's like a fire that burns. Mm-hmm. And the more you feed it, the more stuff you buy for yourself, the more it's going to burn. Yeah.
Indeed. Say it again.
Indeed.
Word.
What song do you want to play?
What song I want to play? As of right now, I've been playing music this whole time in the background. It's been very low. But, yeah.
How was your day, DJ Sosa? You haven't answered. Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did.
My bad, my bad.
I said the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. For the most part, woke up mad early, he said.
Woke up mad early.
See, that's why I forgot. I woke up mad early, too. I woke up at, like, 5 and go back to bed.
I feel you on that one. But, let's see. No, yeah. Good? You all good? All right. Cool. Well,
honestly, I really just want to say thank you guys for listening. Also, I also want to say thank you for joining us.
Yeah, as of now, it's 6:55, and you're listening to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre Catskill, Hudson, and on the Wavefarm website, wavefarm.org. If you want to send us a message, we can help you get involved in community. If you just want to give us a comment, some criticism, we accept it all. You know, growth is the best part about being a human. And you can email us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com, spelled O-U-R, because it's just as much your show as it is ours. And our guest today is, just one more time,
Roxanne Wilkins from the spot in Philmont.
Say one more time for me.
Roxanne Wilkins from the spot in Philmont.
There it is.
And I just want to give a big shout out to the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green for funding this. All the community centers around us, all the community centers everywhere, really. A few local ones are the Hudson Clubhouse, the Catskill Clubhouse, the Spa in Philmont, otherwise potentially known as Philmont Clubhouse. It's part of the same group.
Mm-hmm.
There's a YMCA in Caro that I know of. We might be working on a Caro one. Well, I don't know. Sometime in the future. Not right now. We have some other things on our plate. But with that being said, we're approaching the end.
As for now, we will fade you guys off with some music. I hope you enjoy.
Soho, I leased in this Yoho. Snatching my chain is a no-no. Get your out from the logo. I put her up in a chokehold. They snitching and broke. Popo. Give me a she go-go. Cause I'm in a rush. JoJo. Okay. Buy a coin, buy another one. Way too many, got my brother one. Send a blitz, we huddling. When it smoke, they stuttering. Switch on the Glock, strike a pose. I'm a cameraman, it's shuddering. Nosey, we buttoning. Bend it over, let me see some. Young FL Studio, front of back, I'm trying to beat some. I'm the type to put my boots on. He the type to run and go tweet some. I don't play about my hard drive. Get your whooped if you leave some. Nigga always trying to sneak some.
Went to Cleveland Ave at the scoop with the cam. I know Mama Doug living richer than Fancy. No Dolly Door from the block that it baps. I got two twins in the back of the truck. Ass fat like 15s in the back of the truck. I took two twos, spread it right in the cup with the other 12. Cause we don't. Spot jumping and you know that it's hit. Soft skin like a side of bikini. Took a rose right out of Martini. One balloon and I'm having a fiend. To the roof but we don't have a ceiling. What the f***? What does that mean? That mean I'm king. Rolling, I can feel my hands on my feet. That ain't something, yeah, in the trillion, in the zillion. We might need quantum physics to count the risings with the slizzes. Utopia back to business.
I'm back. I hit the club on the hub, you can come with the racks. Come with the dick. Round the town with a sack. You snatching my chain, I bet you I get the back. Hey, I pull up, finger her cat. I'm a big dog, I can get him knocked down for a rat. I'm in a golf cart, rockin' spider like satin. I don't know where he was at, ran the dog to train, and I didn't have a track. Yeah. I've been there way since a little. Don't like you, then deal with it. Pull out and I chill with you. AYG and Spider, your favorite idol, your favorite rival. Man, he ain't mad, dead with the man. My beat on your chest, look, relax. Tell the cool y'all get rattled, don't.